The Specials Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everybody, welcome along to the Specials Podcast, another week of Strictly Come Dancing and X Factor Betting, plus we might touch on a few other specials markets along the way, in the company of Andy Holding. Hi Andy.
Hi buddy.
And Reality Rob Dixon. If I had a round of applause effect, I'd play it now, because you had a good week last week, it's fair to say.
Have we not got one?
No, we ran out. Oh. It's in the same place that the new theme tune is.
Good afternoon, listener. Getting.
You can afford to buy the new theme tune now.
It might just be... people going, just clapping.
All hail Rob. I was going to call this the annual Rob Was Right podcast.
I've got the first week right.
Oh, did you? Sorry.
Just the rest of them.
If you missed the podcast last week, Andy and Rob went head to head. Do you know the funniest thing about this, Andy? Is I told a couple of people in the office that you'd gone head to head, and Dave Kellner, our mutual friend, said, "Oh, you'll have cut all those prices." And this was like, you know, late on Friday, and I went and checked, and all the prices were there, still there. I thought, hang on a minute, this is strange. He's had the courage of his conviction here.
What does Kellner know? Hence and why he's not on here now anyway.
Lo and behold, not only did he oppose all the Jay stuff, got away with it a little bit with a knee injury, but he's only gone and landed Katie Derham to top it off as well, Andy.
Yeah, that was a great call. I mean, the Katie, the bet. I didn't see that coming, to be fair, but it was a really good Viennese waltz. And it was in a week where there was a hell of a lot of surprises. I thought a lot of the competitors danced really well, and the big gun, unfortunately, Jay completely fluffed his lines, didn't he?
Mm.
It couldn't have gone any worse. He went 37-25 within the space of 1 week. It was just like a car crash. Anything that could have gone wrong did go wrong. He started off on the wrong foot, and once you get out of tandem in the quick step, you never get it back. And he rescued it in parts, but yeah, it was an absolute nightmare to watch. But the key is, considering it's so bad and he dropped down the leaderboard really significantly into the bottom rung of it, his price hasn't wavered at the top of the market.
I was going to ask
that. He's a really solid, still even money, 6-5 favourite, despite, you know, showing his vulnerability.
Yeah, Rob, I was going to ask you that. You know, if the stats that you brought to the table last week were really interesting, you know, how, you know, those high scores in week three, was it?
Week four.
Were never replicated by, you know, most of the acts who got them. You must still think, because you've still got Joe McGuinness versus the field, you've still got him 2-5 in a match bet with Peter Andre, you've still got without Jay betting, and he's still obviously the leader in the market, so you still think that he is the man to beat.
Nothing changes for me. One bad week, just forget about that. He's still got in the bank that dance, which guarantees him a 40 if he gets to the final.
Yeah,
nothing really. You can just forget last week. Yeah, the quick step. Chances that whether the choreography and stuff, maybe they've given him too much to do, a little bit too quick too soon. But this is going to help him as well. A bit of vulnerability as well. And don't forget they've marked him. They've marked this 25 based on how well he did previously. They're almost marking him now in a completely different way to anybody else, because they know what he can do. So, I mean, the 25, if Carol had done a performance like that, they probably would have marked her 26, 27 and raved about it. That is the difference between him and sort of the bottom of the field.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, and it probably will only help Andy. The outright betting sees him at 6-5 as the clear favourite. Peter Andre 7-2. I had plenty of chat on Twitter about his journey through the show and how that will unfold over the next couple of months. Katie Derham 5-1, Helen George 9-1, Anita Rani 14, Georgia May 14, so is Kelly Bright. Then you get your big jump up to 66-1 for Jamelia, Ainsley Harriet, Carol Kirkwood, Jeremy Vine and Kirsty Gallagher, all out of the washing. Triple figure prices, 100 1-1. We've got the elimination prices. We've got the high score prices as well. Let's have a look at the elimination first, shall we? We've got Kirsty Gallagher, 6-5 favourite. Carol Kirkwood, 7-2. Ainsley Harriott, 4-1. Jamelia, 6s. 7s, Jeremy Vine. And then you get the big jump up to Anita Rani, 50-1. And bigger the rest of them. Between the two of you, we've nailed this every week so far, Andy. Obviously, we've got the dances to come this week. We're also starting to get a real good pattern of who goes where, aren't we, in terms of, you know, the running order, which, you know, as we say, is all important. This week, just gone, Danielle and Christina were second up, and Kirsty and Brendan were third up, both in the bottom two, and of course Daniel went. So, you know, it's time to start second-guessing that a little bit, together with the dances that they've got and our knowledge of the YouTube views, and we can paint a pretty good picture here, can't we?
Yeah, I'd like to think so, yeah. I mean, obviously, I predicted Kirsty would be vulnerable, and she was. She didn't dance very well, but unfortunately, she was really good in the dance-off against Daniel O'Donnell, which was a bit of a surprise to see him in the bottom two in the first place. But so yeah, he danced badly, and Kirsty quite rightly went through. The things I have noticed as well, not only the running order, which is massively significant, is also that the people that are in the dance-off usually bounce back the following week, whether it's a sympathy thing or whether they just pull their socks up or whether they just get a better dance for them. The paso was always difficult for Kirsty. I think if she was doing something like that again this week, I think she would be a worthy favourite. But she's doing the Viennese waltz, and that's a really good dance. It's a very showy dance. It's always on the turn. I mean, don't forget, that's exactly what Katie had last week to do her get the top point score of 33 doing the Viennese waltz. It is a very showy dance. You almost can't go wrong with it, to be fair. And having seen her in training, she looks really good. She's actually got good movement, good heel leads as well, which Elena will obviously be looking for. I think she's going to get the classic dance-off bounce. And I think she's a terrible favourite, actually, this week, at 6-5, 11-10 to go. Even if she does get in the dance-off, if she doesn't get voted through into the bottom two, then I think because of the strength of her dance and who she's likely to be up against, I think she'll outdance them again. That's the worst-case scenario.
Yeah, and she's also kind of due a better draw as well, because the best draw that she's had, you know, has kind of been just past the middle of the show, really, hasn't it? So it's not like she's, you know, it's not like she's been she's not going to get a plum draw, because why would she? You know, no one wants to hang on and watch Kirsty dance. But you know, the best that she can hope for maybe is another sixth or seventh in the running order or something like that. Rob, do you think?
Yeah, definitely. So, 6-5. There is the bounce. It's what she's up against is the issue, isn't it? If you think that Carol, I'll come on to my view in a minute, but you think that Carol and Jeremy have got sort of the BBC voting public. You look at comparisons. I read a website earlier that compared them to sort of your Bill Turnbull's Scott Mills. They weren't in danger till sort of week 6, week 7. So you think that Carol and Jeremy have got another couple of weeks in them.
She's got Viennese waltz this week as well, by the way.
So, I mean, that's quite a good comparison between the two. It could be that they're both safe, which probably puts Audley and Jamelia in danger, because you kind of think that any of the main runners, even if they do sneak into the bottom two, and there could be a chance that maybe somebody like a Katie this week with a difficult dance could go back into the pack. But I don't know, it just seems that, I mean, Jamelia, Audley... Ainsley have both avoided, they've both been in the bottom two, both survived, but there's obviously, I think we referred to it as the bounce factor a couple of years ago, didn't we, that you think you're safe and then they go back in, and that's probably when they're most vulnerable.
Yeah. Is the one dance that stands out for you as being a bit of a car crash this week, Andy?
Well, I mean, Ainsley's got quite a difficult one for him. A good party dance. He's got the jive. So his personality is not going to be under question. It's just whether he can pull it off. Obviously, he's knocking on now. He's in his 30s. Can he get the bounce? Can he get the rhythm? Has he got the stamina to pull off a really good job all the way through? It's a touch and go for me, that. Looking at his waltz last week on YouTube as well, he was the bottom most visited playback dancer with only 4,000. He was only 1.63 on the popularity as well in the other poll that I look at. So he's getting back into that, sucked into the dance-off vortex that I'm looking at. I think he's going to be vulnerable this week. And like I say, it just depends how good or bad that jive is. You've got Carol doing the Viennese waltz, which should really theoretically help her. She's with Pasha, of course, who's very elegant and always puts on some good choreography. And that Viennese waltz often does get celebrities through. Again, though, despite her popularity, on the voting, her actual popularity on what I'm looking at, Digital Spy, is very, very low, and the YouTube hits are also very low. So she's become kind of a her life or shelf life is becoming less and less certain each week. I think Jamila's got a really good dance for her this week. She's doing the Foxtrot. I think she had a massive game changer last week after being in the dance off. She pulled in 17,000 viewers on YouTube, and that Charleston was one of the best dances of the series so far. She got 32 for that. I think she's going to get a lot of confidence. I'm not sure whether she'll go. And even if she does get into the dance-off, I think that strong Foxtrot will be enough to get her through. So I'm looking at Carol and Ainsley this week. I just think it's a straight fight between these two. They're both sort of on the cusp. Mm. As I said, even allowing for Kirsty being a short price favourite, I think if you box up one of those two, around about 7-2, 4-1, you're almost certain to collect.
Yeah, and I guess if those two are in the bottom two, Andy, you'd have to say Ainsley's got the ability with the jive to outdance her. Would you say?
I would say so. Yeah, I mean, I think even though Viennese Waltz is a good dance, whether Carol can pull it off to the standard that what Katie did last week, I wouldn't be absolutely sure. It's very, very difficult to see just the small clips. I mean, you get 30-second clips on the social media sites, and on obviously it takes two. You could do with seeing it a little bit more. See, when you're seeing it on Tuesday and Wednesday, so they've perfected it, they've got a little bit better, they've showed it off a bit more, and obviously they've learnt all the steps, and that's the problem, really. You don't get to see the finished article, and you don't know where they are in the running order.
They obviously make that decision once they've seen how good they are this week, haven't they? You know, it's all, obviously, all that is based... It's easy to think that it's based on a conspiracy theory and it's people who they want to go, but it's obviously based on how good they are and how good will be for the show. You know, if the best answer of the week is Katie Derham goes last.
Yeah,
simple as that, isn't it? It's not rocket science.
I think the final, is it nearly every week, hasn't it, has been either the last dance or the next to last dance has won that highest score. Mm. So, I mean, I think last week, I think about four of them, I think, were tied on 32 before Katie Derham. Yeah. So... yeah, I can understand. It's obviously a performance that they put on each week, and yeah, the better dancers will end up last. But as I said, it's a bit like our the X Factor running order, which we obviously have to go on to next week, won't it? Obviously, the ones that were on first are in danger, and the ones that are on last should plausibly be shortening in the betting.
Well, who are you looking at for this elimination market then, Rob?
Understand exactly where Andy's come from. I think Kirsty was lucky last week. I think if Daniel hadn't made the mistakes, I think Kirsty wouldn't be here this week to tell the tale. But I'm interested in Jeremy Vine at a big price. He's not to me, there doesn't seem to be any improvement there. Week in, week out, it's sort of a bog standard sort of 20, 21 points. He's slipping now below sort of Carol in the points as well. So where does he go? He's doing a waltz this week, and the early bits that I've seen suggest that he's struggling with that as well. And I just wonder if there's only so many votes to go around, there's only so many that could get into trouble, isn't there? If Jamelia's doing well, it's down to four. Kirsty gets the bounce, so you're looking at, as Andy said, Ainsley, Carol, Jeremy. At those prices, Jeremy probably is the value selection.
Mm. It's probably the worst dance for Jeremy to actually keep him in, because I think the voting public are quite liking him out of hold and doing the wacky, crazy, zany dances where, if you like, there's no way he can pull it off. So he does a Jeremy Vine dance and he puts his own spin on it, and that's when he becomes popular. But when he's doing a serious dance where he's in hold and he doesn't get a chance to show his personality off and make it his own, and it's got to be down to technique, then that could, as Rob just has pointed out, I think he's made a fair point with Jeremy there, the waltz actually probably is the worst dance he can do, because it's just very, it's very straight, straight and solid, isn't it? There's no flexibility to be showcasey with it, is there?
Yeah, no. I mean, we've seen a few struggles as well with the waltz. I mean, Anthony Ogogo did it, just scored 19 points. Jamelia struggled first week, didn't she, doing it? So these are plausibly better dancers than Jeremy attempting to do it as well.
Yeah,
well,
there are a few of them who've their lowest scoring dances. If you look at there's a table on Wikipedia, it gives you the highest and lowest scoring dance. So Anthony lowest scoring dance of the waltz. Kirsty the same. You had Jamelia and Tristan the same. Helen and Alias, their lowest score was a waltz. Georgia and Giovanni's lowest score has been a waltz as well. So, yeah, tricky one for them. And the other thing about Jeremy is, I think I mentioned this last week, it didn't come to fruition in the end, although he did get an early slot, was that, you know, the preceding 2 weeks, he'd been right near the end of the show. Last week he was given slot number 5 and didn't end up in the bottom 2. They might even take him back a rung or two earlier than that if he's not doing too well. So yeah, some interesting shouts there. Jeremy Vine is priced up at 7-1 to be the fourth one to go. Carol Kirkwood 7-2. Ainsley Harriet is 4-1. Highest score then, we've got Jamie Guinness at 6-4, Georgia May 4-1, Peter Andre 4-1, Kelly Bright 9-2, Helen George 6-1, Katie Derham 10s, 14s for Anita Rani, and then a big jump up to 40-1, and bigger the rest. So Jay's back at favouritism as he was last week, doing the Paso Doble, Andy.
Yeah, I wouldn't be so sure that a Paso Doble is that big of an opportunity for Jay to bounce back to the standard that we saw him in the previous week with the Jive. I certainly think he'll do really well at Paso. Good aggressive dance, and if you like, it's very similar in many respects, isn't it, to the previous dances he'd done in Hold, when it's all down to character and making sure you get the moves right. It's just a poor price. I mean, I've been bit for him at 6-4 last week. There's no way I'm going to go in again, given he's not doing a Latin dance, because I think that's when he's really going to come into his own. So I'm going to bypass Jay this week. I want to pull up Kelly Bright here. If there's one dance that really does showcase someone's personality and someone with good intent and a little bit of possible longevity in the programme, I think the Jive is perfect for Kelly. I think these two have got great personality. Kevin always does a really good Jive. I've been back through the series and look at the performance that he's done in the Jive, and it's always been to a very high standard. And I just think Kelly's really getting it. She's just one of those dancers that's just become a very, very consistent performer. She's a bit of a slow burner. I don't think her price in the overall market reflects her possibilities of actually winning the show. I still think 14, 16 to 1 is too big for her. And she looks as though she's got good bounce, good flicks and kicks. And at 9 to 2, she's in the right running order, i.e. towards the back end, because I think they save some of the best dancers, we say, towards the back end. I think you might find that Ainsley'll go off first, because they want to start the party with a good positive job, but they also want to end it positively as well. And if the vibes are that Kelly's doing really well, which seems to be the case, looking at the It Takes Two clips, then I do think she's got a great chance this week of getting top score.
Yeah, and interesting, because you look at the week one, she was third highest. Week two, she just dropped back a little bit. I think she was the fifth highest with 27. In the last 2 weeks, she's been second highest on both, joint second highest with Helen and Aliash last week, and a few others on 32 last week. But she's certainly knocking on the door, Rob.
It's a gradual improvement, isn't it? This is what we're talking about, the journey early on in the year. A couple of 27s now, a couple of 32s. And to be fair, she's been good value for the 32s as well. I thought she's danced really well. I thought Kevin's given a sort of really good sort of choreography as well, and showcase the talents. And yeah, I genuinely couldn't put you off the 9-2. It was to me one of the girls. I thought Jay was a little bit too short in the market at 6-4, as Andy said. Georgia May Foote's doing a sousa this week. Now she is due a late slot, isn't she, at some point? So I think this could be, it probably could be between her and Kelly. The sousa, yeah, if she was doing a jive, or I think she's already done a jive, hasn't she? But if she was doing a jive, then I think she'd probably be almost favourite for this market this week. But
it's really interesting, both of them, Kelly and Georgia. I mean, yeah, they've really been holding them back in terms of the running order, haven't they? I mean, they've barely touched the second half of the programme yet, so they are both ready for a breakout, aren't they?
I think the first couple of weeks they have. Obviously, Peter Andre's had the push the first sort of couple of weeks with the late slot, definitely. And obviously, Jay deserved it for his performance in week 3. So we did say last week at some stage they'd have to decide this sort of running order from the girls. The girls are still sort of much of a muchness now. Obviously Katie broke through last week. There's no reason to suggest one of the other two now to break through as well. They seem to be holding, Anita did well first week, they seem to be holding Helen George back. That's the one. I'm not sure what sort of plans they've got for her. She's had a few sort of late slots, hasn't she? But there's nothing been. They've never really pushed her, either during the show or even on the It Takes Two programme either, so be interesting to know where they go with her. She's safe. She's safe this week. She's going to be safe for a few weeks to come, but obviously at some stage they will need to push her, and be interesting to know what dance they feel they need to, is going to be the one that they need to push her.
She's very similar to Pixie Lott, to me, Helen. Very, very good start. Obviously got good foundation, being a popular, you know, TV personality. But I just think she's just always somewhere just slightly above centre, but never really hitting the ball out of the park.
Yeah, sometimes you can forget. You sort of go back, and while you can remember good performances, while you can remember, obviously, Jay and Peter Andre, even the worst ones, Helen just falls into that middle bit where you don't really... You have to sort of look on, and realise what she's done that week. And I mean, the scores are fine. The score, I think she's got the highest. She got the highest average score of anybody now in the competition. So
I mean, that's why someone like Helen or Peter aren't going to win, because there's no wow factor with them. We know that they're always going to be good. It's the ones that come on and they're not expected to do well, like Jay with his jive and Katie with the Viennese Waltz. Ones that you're thinking, well, where did that come from? Those are the ones where, you know, people are voting at home. They're pressing the button.
Yeah, where you can invest in something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Helen's going to do well. Everyone's expecting Helen to do well. So yeah. When she scores 30, 31, 32, everyone goes, well, yeah, fair enough, that's what we thought anyway. Mm-hmm. Peter the same. So there's no mileage with those two.
Indeed, yeah. Some nice bets there. I'm just going to pick which ones I like best. Out of the elimination and the high scores. Thank you very much, Andy. I think we've pretty much covered off the Strictly markets there.
Yeah, I think we have, yeah.
Enjoy the... there's all the usual series match bets and specials available on the Strictly pages, so make sure you check those out. Are you happy with that comprehensive look at Strictly Come Dancing?
That was a great look at Strictly Come Dancing.
Yeah, enjoy that.
Yeah, I don't even need to talk about X Factor now.
Well, we're going to have to do it. We're going to let Andy go, though, because he doesn't want to, which is perfect.
I'll be back in next week, because we'll know the final, shall we?
Yes, indeed, yeah. Cheers, Andy.
All right, guys.
Thanks, cheers, Andy. Mate. Andy Holden there, giving us his views on Strictly Come Dancing. X Factor goes to the judges' houses Saturday and Sunday. That rugby stuff's not finished, but it's kindly started a little bit earlier.
Yeah, so we've decided to move the rugby for a few hours.
The rugby
so
for the X
Factor. Yeah.
We've got... the full market, of course, with Louisa Johnson 11-4, drifting a little bit. Yep. Fourth Impact 5-1, Che Chesterman 6-1, Sean Miley Moore 6s, Kira Weathers 9-1, Anton Steffens 14s, Jennifer Phillips 20s, as is Simon Lynch, Alien Uncovered, as they're now called, 25-1, Lauren Murray 28s, Mason Noyes 28-1. I should always just, whenever you say his name, you should have to say Mason Noyes! But I won't.
Did they have anyone for that voiceover job once Peter Dixon left?
Ebru Ellis, 33-1, got quite a lot of exposure last week. Hava Repka, 33-1. Ben Clark, 40s. Josh Daniel, 40s. Chloe Page, 50-1. Belkin Mile. Because I don't know what... Becklin Mile.
Becklin Mile.
What do they call them? Belkin. Becklin Mile, 66-1. Kerry Ann Phillips is priced up at 66s. Max Stone, 66s. Monica Michael, 80-1. Reggie and Bolly, no longer are they men on point.
Yeah.
80-1. Bupsy, 100-1. Melody Stone, what are they called?
Silvertone.
Silvertone. 100-1. A New King's Order. The best thing about X Factor this week was when I saw the names, I was like... What? Really? I mean, Alien Uncovered is a worse name. I'm hoping they have had to do that for some legal reasons.
Yeah.
Fourth Impact is probably the only one that's a better name.
Apparently, they were all for copyright issues. Eight name changes this... Well, Fourth Impact we knew about. Eight name changes this week. Unbelievable scenes.
Crazy.
Half of them aren't even going to be in the live shows anyway. It's pointless.
It is stupid. So, this week, we go to judges' houses.
We do a 4-hour feast of X Factor this weekend.
Wow.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Four
isn't
hours
it?
At least.
And then we will have, and it will all be revealed this weekend, in the past few years, it's been revealed on the start of the
Revealed live, yeah. We've got a list of people to make the live shows as well, so we'll go through those in a minute. But I was going back to last week's, I was actually quite impressed with Simon's overs. Once they'd got through the sort of nitty gritty of basically being offensive to people, they kind of got a couple. There's a couple that I do like. I'm not sure who's going to get the third spot, but I think Anton and Jennifer looked nailed on for these first two slots. And I think one of them, probably me, Anton, more than Jennifer, I think might be in for quite a while to come.
I think I've always thought Anton has something about him that is very likeable, and you could see him doing well on the show. He's got a great voice. He's got a great soulful voice. That voice, yeah. That it's that kind of voice that sells albums to housewives, even when he's out of X Factor. Kind of Steve, he's got a very similar voice to Steve Brookstein, who I know is, you know, his persona's changed, but even when he came out of X Factor and, you know, there's all that controversy, people still like those records. People still like the Robson and Jerome type Christmas album where it's just an album full of covers. You can imagine Anton Stephens doing an album of covers and then going away quietly. You're not offering betting on who gets to the live shows.
It's funny that, Lee, if you click on that button that I can see you hovering over now,
specials,
they've gone.
I was going to say was,
this is
going
to be awkward now to talk about this for the next couple of minutes.
What I was going to say was, but you can have a bet in a sense on the top boy.
Top boy.
How'd you put the markets out there?
The markets will be out by the time the podcast gets released.
So what are the markets?
So we're about one. I think we're 1-25 first impact. 1-2
Fourth impact.
Fourth impact. I'm getting there, aren't I?
Oh, four. This is
gone. 25 on Louisa Johnson. So,
but are they all priced up?
Yeah, all 24 are priced up to...
To get to the live shows?
Yeah.
Wow.
To qualify, basically.
Wow.
So...
You have been busy.
I mean, the ones that are probably interesting to people in the boys' category is quite good, obviously. Sean Miley Moore, Chesterman, 7-8 on. You can back Mason Noyes. He's 8-11 to qualify. He's actually shorter in the bet than Simon Lynch. I think Simon Lynch is odds against Ben Clark, Josh Daniel, around the sort of 3-1 mark. So I mean, it's an interesting
that girls category is a hell of a category though, isn't it?
I mean, Louisa gets through. There's
Kira
rumors,
gets through.
Rumors this week that Kira might be struggling, but
right.
I mean, I don't think Chloe comes in. I don't think Monica goes in. I think there's hard luck stories for those two. But I think you're definitely looking at two from three.
Yeah, she's not very good, is she, Repka?
No, but she definitely offers... Somebody compared her on Twitter last week to Cher Lloyd.
Oh, no.
And I just think that maybe it's just a little bit different, isn't it? It's what you need, maybe a little bit of variety. We don't know the way the show is going to go. So it could be maybe Louisa and Kira are slightly similar.
Mm.
And Lauren. So
yeah, I think
Haver offers you that alternative.
There's no way. I mean, yeah, she does. She's not very good, but she does offer that alternative. I think, given who the mentor is, then I think she probably will be picked over someone like Monica Michael, who's kind of similar. See, Monica Michael can do all that sort of stuff that Haver Repka does, which is all the kind of rap. But when
Haver's,
I see, when
I think Haver's younger.
When
I,
when you see that, when you see those six girls together, Monica Michael looks like their mum.
Yeah.
She's never under...
That's half the problem.
She's got to be in the overs category.
That isn't going to sell. Haver, I think, could, well, plausibly, Haver offers you something different in that market.
I agree. In terms of the groups, again, I think this is a fantastic category.
Well, the groups, again, I mean, your first two go through Alien and Fourth Impact. They've pushed enough, far too much for them not to send them through. I genuinely think they've talked about these two sort of gospel groups, haven't they? Becklin Mile, Melody Stone, as they're called now. And I can see him making a decision between those two. I think the fact they've talked that there's sort of family members in each group, and I genuinely think it would be a choice between those two. And I think...
Well, you think Reggie and Bolly will go through ahead of Melody Stone?
No, Reggie and Bolly... Reggie and Bolly don't go through.
No.
I think it's Becklin Mile, Melody Stone, and I think due to the fact they've got two girl groups, they will pick Becklin Mile. I think they will, again, just try and change it up. What's the point of having three girl groups? I know there's three girl groups offering three different sort of genres a bit, but...
No, I get your point entirely.
I think they would want a male group.
Yeah, we know. I mean, it's an absolute cast iron guarantee that Fourth Impact will be in the live shows. Alien Uncovered... Cheryl Cole said that's the reason she wanted that group.
Yep.
The groups was because of them. She loves them. She made no secret of that, did she? And she gave away a couple of... I thought she gave away quite a lot in, you know... Some she said, like, you know, take a seat. Others she was kind of saying, like, the things that we can do together are going to be fantastic and all the rest of it. So, agreed on that. And did we talk about the overs? I don't think we quite... We mentioned them, didn't we? But we didn't go into them in massive detail in terms of this.
That's
the interesting one. Ebru Ellis.
I think it's another Ebru against Bupsy, I think, for me. I think... I just wonder if they will go...
Jesus.
I will... I
You can go in a pub in Leeds and watch Bupsy.
I know you can.
No, literally, you can.
Yeah, I know. I know which one.
Why is she good enough to go on X Factor?
I just wonder if...
Because he's mental.
Yeah, I think there's a... All what he sees is Sunita in Bupsy, doesn't he? So I just see that...
He can ring Sunita up and get her to FaceTime
him. Yeah, but I think this is your novel. Bupsy is your novelty act this year. And it wouldn't surprise me. They've only pushed Ebru this week.
I know.
Basically, there was...
Whoever is the third one of these goes first. Whoever is the third one out of this is gone. He's gone.
No, I think...
Because the crap...
I think
Ebru's all right, actually. But.
I think Becklin Mole go first. If they get through.
Okay. Have we got a market on who goes first?
No, not yet. We'll do it next week.
No problem. Yeah, I like that. So check those out on the specials pages where you can see X Factor. You can be able to have a bet on who makes the live shows. I like those markets, Rob. They're good, those. Spotty, any changes there?
No changes. Obviously, Lewis Hamilton will wrap up the Grand Prix World Championship. Should he?
Oh, I tell you what, I have got a bet. Sorry to interrupt. You just reminded me of something. This is a classic. This is a staple of the Specials podcast. You know what I'm going to say. The Edenbridge Bonfire Society. What a bet this is. This is one of the best bets I've seen on the Specials pages for a long time. Edenbridge Bonfire Society, basically, they put a celebrity guy on the bonfire every year. And it can be someone who's had some notoriety. It can be someone who's controversial. Many different ones, Rob. We talk about this every year.
In past years,
we've looked at it and we've thought, you know, who... it doesn't exist now. I need to find the website so I can list a few of them. But they're usually people who are controversial, aren't they? It's fair to say.
Quite recent controversial as well.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be anyone, you know, it doesn't have to be a worldwide figure. Let me list some of the people who have been on this bonfire in recent years. There's some great ones as well.
A few people wanted to put Andy Oldin on after last week.
Did they?
Yeah, Twitter. He's lucky he went on Twitter last week.
That is absolutely terrible. This is a public vote, right? As to who you think.
Can I just say that this is the first year it's been a public vote.
Yes, it is indeed.
Which has changed things a lot.
You look at some of the previous ones. You had Balotelli one year. You've had Katie Hopkins. Wayne Rooney on there. Lance Armstrong, Saddam Hussein, you know, you get the gist. George Bush, I think George Bush has been on there. Tony Blair's been on there. Jonathan Ross when he had his fallout with the BBC, etc., etc., etc. So you get the gist here.
Yeah.
Now, the betting has Seth Blatter as the 3-1 favourite. It's also right at the top of the list of votes. This is the list. Let me give you this list here. I think this 3-1 on Seth Blatter is an absolute stonker. 3-1 Seth Blatter, 5-1 Vladimir Putin, 8-1 Stuart Lancaster, 9-1 Nicola Sturgeon, 10-1 Jeremy Corbyn, 10-1 Kim Jong-un, 12-1 David Cameron, 12-1 Donald Trump, Zayn Malik 16s, you know, Craig Zuber, the rugby union referee from last week, 20-1, and so we go on. There's loads more in here. All sorts of weird and wonderful names. I think 3-1 is an absolutely brilliant price for Seth Blatter. He's world renowned as being a bit of a git at the minute. You know, all right, are people going to vote for Vladimir Putin? I don't think so. They don't give you the results, do they?
Unfortunately,
you were looking for the results, weren't you? So yeah, so you can. It's well worth having a look at this, I think.
If it helps, I've just voted for.
You can only vote once.
You can only
They're
vote
on top
once.
Of that.
Yeah, I voted for Seth Blatter for you, Vegan.
Thanks, and I'll do the same from various devices that I own. But I love this 3-1 Seth Blatter to be on top of that bonfire. Great bit of publicity as well. And if you can,
do you not think he needs any more negative publicity that he's ended up now on top of a bonfire?
Not for him. I mean, for, you know, it'll get worldwide publicity for Edenbridge Bonfire Society more so than Vladimir Putin.
Yeah, Vladimir might target them.
Exactly.
Stuart Lancaster's a runner, isn't he?
Nah, not really. People aren't that bothered.
Yeah, but you've got to remember where it is. You're right in the middle of rugby union country.
And it has got a bit of a sporting bent in previous years, hasn't it, to be honest with the
failures. Matt Balotelli, Lance Armstrong.
Balotelli was a poor one in my book. But yeah, I think we've got a genuine figure who's...
John McCrory? Is that John McCrory?
Yeah, John McCrory has been on there.
Unfair.
Katie Price was that with holding the heads of two of her previous lovers.
Those boobs would have gone absolutely mental in a fire as well, wouldn't they?
It's well worth having a look at the website, by the way, because there's some they are works of art, these things that they create. So check that out. I think the
best bit is, I'll tell you how good it was, but you knew them all without having to read the names at the bottom. Yeah. That's
EdenBridgeBonfire.co.uk. Check it out. That's one of my favourite markets of the year. 3-1, Sepp Blatter. It won't be 3-1 soon. Get on. I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. WWE. Oh, God, Robert, when this comes on, we've got to talk about it.
No, we don't.
The New Day versus the Dudley Boys. 9-4, 1-3.
No, let's stop. They know where it is on the site. Okay. Why do we have to bother?
Fine. Good. You're the boss. We should mention Star Wars because it's on the horizon, isn't it?
Yeah.
The next Star Wars.
December 12th, loads of
specials here. Is this...
they're all match bets, aren't they? Basically.
So these are basically based on the Mojo... What's it called? Box Office Mojo?
Box Office Mojo, yeah.
That's the website. Worldwide grosses. So basically we're looking to take on
grosses.
Avatar. worldwide gross, that's what it says. Just reading it. Star Wars The Force Awakens to gross less worldwide than Avatar 4-11. Star Wars The Force Awakens to achieve a higher worldwide box office gross than Avatar. 2.78 billion was the gross. 2-1. I know a lot of people out in that office who are big Star Wars fans who think it'll blow it out of the water.
Might do. Never know. I've always wondered why it gets released so close to Christmas, because surely that would detract from it, but apparently Avatar came out around this time of the year.
Yeah,
as well,
and like a little word of warning, and you'll know this being the guy who's running this market or the PR team. I've been involved in these markets before, yeah. And the opening, the window, the box office window that it's got is 6 months.
Yeah,
so you won't be getting paid out anytime before.
Oh no, May, you're looking May, April, June next year. Sorry,
which is good for you. Which is good though, because if you've had a bet and it doesn't beat it over Christmas and you're a bit worried, then you've got a lot more to go. You've got lots of holidays. You've
definitely
got lots.
Yeah.
More. So Easter, you know, it still maintains. And films like Star Wars will get shown at lots of different times of the day, and they'll get shown in early morning cinemas and all the rest of it. So that's an interesting one to get involved in if you like your films. We've got Next Pope, Olympics, Royals, Turner Prize, Weather Specials, James Bond, and other stuff.
Yeah, it's quite busy, isn't it?
Good, really good. Getting to that time of year, isn't it? Are you going to do Christmas toy again this year?
Once I get some contact with some lovely people in
Hamleys. We didn't do Christmas toy last year, remember?
No, Hamleys didn't get back to me. I'm not a big enough fish for Hamleys anymore. So, but I am heading to Hamleys in a few weeks' time, so I might just pop in.
Drop in.
And say, do you know who I am?
Yes. That always works.
Escorted out the shop.
Yeah, that'll work well. Good luck if you're having a bet on X Factor or Strictly this weekend or any of the other specials markets that we've touched on. We'll be back next week for more of the same. Thank you, Rob.
Pleasure.
Thank you to Andy Holden, who's recently departed us after his Strictly chat. Not in that way.
Licking his wounds, isn't he? That's what he's doing.
Thank you very much for downloading the podcast. If you're having a bet on any of those markets, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.